Descendants of slaves, the Polish government, and Native Americans who were sterilized by the state are just a few of the different groups around the world who are demanding reparations for past injustices against their ancestors. I'm Scotty Nell Hughes, and on this edition of 360 View, we are going to look at which groups around the world are asking for reparations and what countries are making plans to pay them. Let's get started. The meaning and use of reparations has changed over the years. From a punishment for war crimes to an attempt to make amends for treatment of their ancestors. Our national correspondent Roxana Solano takes us across the globe to learn about how reparations have been used throughout history. Roxana?
Scotty, let's first look at what reparations really are. The original meaning was for a country to pay monetarily for war crimes. It has now evolved to mean making amends with money to someone who feels they have been wronged. First, we look back at World War I, how Germany was forced to pay heavily by the Treaty of Versailles to make up for losing the war. This crippled their economy, and is also believed to be what led Germany to World War II. Now Poland is asking Germany to pay reparations again to descendants of Polish Jews killed in concentration camps. Back in the 1950s, Poland relinquished the right to reparations partly due to a deal with the then Soviet Union. But now they're pressuring the UN to make Germany pay up. This is similar to reparations being considered in America. Descendants of slaves could be receiving $200,000. The idea behind this type of reparation is that people alive now have been punished in life or haven't had as many chances because their ancestors were treated poorly in America. Another use of reparation also in America is the state of California. The state of California is looking to pay Native Americans who were forcefully sterilized. The $4.5 million program will provide 600 people who are still alive upwards of $15,000 per person who were forced to be sterilized by the government. But is this enough? Could any amount ever be enough when you have taken away the ability to have a child? My question to all this, is it fair to pay $15,000 to a person who has been stripped of a future compared to one whose burden is to be slavery descendant? I'm Roxana Solano for 360U. Back to you, Scotty.
Wow, those are definitely some hard questions that I think a lot of people are asking today. Thank you so much, Roxana. Joining me now to discuss is American historian Gerald Horn, who currently holds the John J. and Rebecca Moore's Chair of History in African American Studies at the University of Houston. Thank you so much for joining me, Gerald.
Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, we're talking about reparations. And do you believe there is a time limit or a sort of statute of limitations which should exist on who should be able to collect? And I'm not only talking about people here in the United States, but also around the world.
Well, certainly with regard to the United States, there should be no time limit. You may know that the claim for reparations with regard to what's being discussed in Sacramento, California, as we speak, turns on the question of enslaved Africans. As you know, in the United States of America, there is a legal principle that there should not be a wrong without a remedy. The wrong was the fact that people were brought across the Atlantic against their will, forced to work for free. The remedy is reparations to their descendants who have suffered grievously as a result of that initial enslavement. There is historical precedent for reparations in the United States. I heard in your setup piece that there was mention of the unjust incarceration of Japanese Americans during World War II. A few decades later, they were granted reparations by the U.S. government. The United States government even has lobbied abroad for reparations to the folks who were subjected to the Holocaust in Central and Eastern Europe in the 1930s and the 1940s, even though the United States was not a principal with regard to that unjust crime against humanity. Indeed, Germany has granted reparations to the State of Israel, which did not exist during the time that the Holocaust took place. So given that, I'm not sure why we should exempt people of African descent in North America from the just remedy of reparations.
So let's actually talk about your plan for how reparations should be assessed and distributed. What do you consider to be the best, most realistic, and the best logistical plan that could be put into place?
Well, it depends. As you know, in the city of Evanston, Illinois, where Northwestern University is cited, there is a reparations plan locally based upon the unjust discrimination against people of African descent in that municipality. A similar plan is unfolding in Providence, Rhode Island. With regard to California, you have a panel that has been taking testimony for many months now with regard to reparations. Your audience should know, however, that even when this panel comes up with their plan, it still has to pass muster in the legislature in Sacramento and then been signed into law by Governor Gavin Newsom, who we understand has presidential plans, and that may hamper his ability to sign so-called legislation, such legislation for reparations into law. So there are many obstacles and barriers before reparations is implemented.
So since you have done such a large study into this and you obviously look and see what would work, where would the majority of this money come from? Where do you believe that the money that would be paid out should come from, and who should it go to?
It'll come from the U.S. Treasury. I understand that the debt in the United States already is over $30 trillion. The deficit is also in the trillions, as I understand it as well. The United States government profited handsomely from the African slave trade, and in fact, even after the United States government, circa 1808, said that the African slave trade was illegal, it continued post-1808. You should also know that U.S. enslavers were also active in Cuba and Brazil. And so I think that given the profits, the unjust profits gleaned from the African slave trade that helped to create this superpower, it's only fair and just that this superpower pay reparations to the families of those who were pulverized and penalized by these crimes against humanity.
But you just said yourself, the United States government, even though it's a superpower and it seems like we have lots of money, you just said yourself, we are trillions of dollars in debt. So we might look like a superpower, but I think you and I can agree that we definitely have some money issues. You would operate your household kind of like the federal government's offering theirs. You know, arguments would be that the money that would go out would be taxpayer dollars, U.S. Treasury dollars or taxpayer dollars more than likely. And those money could be used for all Americans, including those in African-American communities and all backgrounds, going specifically to schools, going specifically to safety things, parks, fire and ambulance equipment, and the greater good rather than individual checks to people. What is your argument in response to that? Do you agree that instead of giving it necessarily a check to an individual, how about you just put the money back into something good, like an endowment, a trust, or even specifically into equipment for the community?
Well, with regard to the United States government and its problems concerning money, when the time came to ante up to the Ukrainians, the United States government did not have a hesitation in finding billions and billions and billions for the Ukrainians, even though there is a loud minority that suggests that the United States should instead be focused on the homelessness question and the hunger question in the United States of America, but somehow that was overlooked. With regard to specific groups, you have the United States government paying out billions and billions on a regular basis to those 65 and older, not least through Social Security, not least through Medicare. There are those who say, why give that money to those 65 and older? Why not give it to those 5 years old and younger? And that argument obviously does not carry any weight in the United States of America. But when it comes for perhaps for some strange reason to talking about designating Black people to be recipients for taxpayers' dollars, all of a sudden we get this argument about what about these other people? I find that very curious indeed.
You know, I can't argue with the fact that the United States can make some very poor decisions for a country so far in debt. We still give lots and lots of aid to people, and usually that's not transparent. I can't argue that point on that side of it. But I do have to ask you, though, not only here in America, because they are looking at that situation here, but in October, Poland actually turned around and demanded $1.3 trillion in reparations paid for by Germany for damages from World War II. Now, Germany's already paid Poland two different rounds of previous payments, both immediately following the end of World War II, various times in the last 70 years. So how many rounds or generations should be required to satisfy, or is it just something that should be considered forever just based off of a time period of one generation?
Well, I'll let Warsaw and Berlin sort out their particular problems, although it is fair to say, number one, that there were massive depredations committed and perpetrated by the preceding government in Berlin, speaking of the Nazi Party. And number two, as Berlin oftentimes counters, there was considerable complicity by the Polish government in the period from 1933 to 1945. Likewise, it's rather curious that Poland is raising this question about reparations to Germany at the same time when Poland and Germany are on the same side with regard to reparations. It seems to me that's going to disrupt that coalition. In any case, I'm not sure what that has to do with the question of enslavement of Africans in the United States of America and the just demand that has arisen with regard to reparations to the descendants of enslaved families.
Well, interesting. You know, you obviously have stated this very much so, and I really appreciate you sharing your insight. And I really respect you and everything that you've done. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
And when we come back, we are going to dive into reparations around the world and what distinguishes which groups are deserving of monetary justice with our guest, Malik Abdul.
Naime, Bosna se prvi put pominje sredinom 10. vijeka kao jedna oblast u sastavu Srbije.
U 1991. godinu počela raspadati se ogromna strana.
Se čuje vazdušne linije, nije puno udaljeno. Počeo se dešavati zločini.
Нужно было создать прецедент. Убийство мусульман.
Соединенные Штаты разработали и организовали секретную программу снабжения Боснии и Герцеговины оружием, которое позднее стало известно как «Черные полеты». Этими же рейсами в Тузу и Высоко доставлялись маджахеты.
По ночи долазили люди и плачали из них куча.
Прено се кренуло в позивы на линч српского народа, српских граждана.
To sve snosi međunarodna zajednica, odnosno snose oni koji danas kreiraju zvaničnu politiku muslimana iz Sarajeva, to su ambasade Engleske, Amerike, dosta je monarhistva i Njemačke. Mislim da su to ključni igrači bili i za izazivanje rata i raspada Jugoslavije, za izazivanje rata, novčane pomoći, slanje naoružanja vojne opreme.
Hi, I'm Rick Sanchez, and I'm here to plead with you, whatever you do, do not watch my new show. Seriously, why watch something that's so different? Why listen to opinions that you won't get anywhere else? Look, if it pleases you to have the State Department, the CIA, weapons makers, multi-billion dollar corporations choose your facts for you, go ahead. Why change? And whatever you do, don't watch my show. Stay mainstream, because I'm probably going to make you uncomfortable. My show is called Direct Impact. But again, you probably don't want to watch it, because it might just change the way you think.
За военных, которые погибают, но они достойны защищать нашу родину.
По нам начали стрелять украинские. Мне ногу ранили. Вот так вот аж. Да чуть-чуть остался шрам.
Фашисты первые наступали на нашу землю, а мы защищали ее, терпели, погибали. Но они все равно идут прямо до победы.
This is your 360 View. I'm Skynell Hughes. We're going to continue our conversation with a different perspective on reparations from Malik Abdul, conservative commentator. Thanks for joining me, Malik.
Thanks for having me, Scotty.
Okay, I want to start off with the concept of reparations. And do you believe members of the present day society should be owed a monetary amount to a certain demographic group because of injustices done by past generations?
I think that really that's a decision that I draw a distinction between what the government or private businesses do. Like, for instance, Georgetown University here, they, as what part of what they considered reparations, they are, I believe, allowing free tuition from the descendants of slaves who were actually on Georgetown University's, well, who were actually owned and traded by Georgetown University. I think that's much very appropriate. I have an issue with the federal government. That's the issue. And when you listen to people talk about reparations, typically, you never really hear them describe outside of the monetary value, which is ultimately what I say is that it ultimately comes down to a check. Because when you hear the reparations discussion, people typically talk about certain programs targeting specifically African-Americans. But at the end of the day, the government already does that. So I don't believe in reparations in the sense that people are talking about issuing out a check, but are there things that the federal government has and will continue to do to close that gap because of the history of racism against blacks in the country? They're already doing that. So I don't think that reparations outside of a check, I honestly don't believe it's a real thing.
Well, then you have like world history, which is filled with almost every civilization at some point doing something at the time, which was acceptable, but people looked back on and said, guess what? That was horrific. Could almost everyone claim at some point they are owed something by someone or some country just based on what their lineage is?
Well, sure. I do think that it is a bit different when it comes to America, because keep in mind, the United States did things a little differently. We ended slavery much later than some of our, international counterparts. So we did things differently, and we enshrined into law discrimination against basically Native Africans or descendants of Africans. So my point in saying that is that since the Emancipation Proclamation and many of the laws to address it, we've had laws, we've had programs. So the United States has done a lot to address this. Where we get caught up in the reparations discussion is because really, if you listen, people are talking about programs, but they're also talking about a check. The government, the United States government, is not going to cut every descendant of American slavery a check. But the United States is not going to do this. So people continue this reparation, and it's an angry or so discussion. And I don't even realize why people get so angry and emotional about it, because again, the federal government is already doing things to target minority communities, indigenous community. We're already doing that.
That's the question. They're saying the aid could be up to $200,000 of a check that's issued to every individual. I find it really funny that they think that a monetary figure, a monetary amount, could actually solve a problem like racism or systematic racism. Like, I think there takes a lot more depth. I put a lot more credit that a dollar amount could actually solve it. That being said, you look at countries around the world. You look at, obviously, there's a lot of questions right now about Germany, putting even more reparations, once again, to those of Polish descent, other countries. Even, countries in Africa are looking to the UK to talk about their colonization and the damage they did there. The question is, one would say, why would you and I, our generation, be accountable for issues done 3 to 4 or 5 generations ago. And who's to say what side my ancestors were on and what side your ancestors were on? And why should my taxpayers do that, go to pay an individual, rather than what's good for the entire community? I would much rather see it go into a community fund to help encourage education, local communities, rather than just individuals.
Scotty, you and I both know, we've seen the studies, and it isn't a new thing. Think of lottery winners. Think of what they say, what happens to lottery winners or anyone when you give them a lump sum of money. If that's not matched with some type of financial education, more than likely you're going to be broke. So sure, if people want to give out, hand out a check, the only thing that you've done is hand out a check. You haven't done anything to actually close the poverty level, because we know as soon as people get that money, it goes right back to into the economy, which is a good thing for the economy. But at the end of the day, many of those lottery winners end up broke. So no, I don't think the idea of just issuing out a check, which is why I'm against it. And when people have this pushback against it and say, well, hey, maybe we should focus on, because I've done it myself. I've been criticized for people myself when I say, hey, let's focus on closing those gaps, continuing what the government is already doing. I'm not focused on a check. I get attacked because I'm saying, well, how could you not, how could you not support a check or reparations? I just don't. But it's a very contentious issue, and I imagine that it will continue to be so sometime into the future.
Well, I think in the United States, all you have to look at is the rounds of COVID aid and the COVID checks that we all got. I mean, when they come down to it, not only was the individuals, how many of those individuals actually used that money to pay their rent, pay their food, pay their insurance, or how many of them bought new Gucci bags or new shoes or made their down payments on new cars. But more importantly, the corruption that so often comes when you're talking about this amount of money that would go into it and who would police and who distribute it. Sadly, like with COVID, we found out that money never actually usually made it to the people. So it might sound good that everybody gets a check, but unfortunately, I think for almost every dollar that would go into somebody who deserves it, how much of it went to those peoples, the bureaucracy meant that had nothing to do with it. You know, I want to look at California because they are looking to pay $200,000 and to decide how, and there's a panel trying to decide how these reparations should be paid out. Now, people are recommending the money be paid by putting to a trust towards tuition, advanced education, housing grants. I imagine this is something you could support.
If a state chooses to do this, I'm not necessarily so thrilled about that idea. But if the state of California or any state for that matter chooses to do that, then I'm absolutely fine with it. Again, I kind of draw a straighter line when it comes to the federal government. But sure, you can kind of give, if they're able to figure out how to do it, because you're talking about a very complicated thing, because you're having to prove ancestry, getting all of that documentation in. And as we know, with many times, people don't submit the proper documentation. So, I mean, it sounds good. I'm not opposed to it, but I'm not necessarily, kind of cheering that this is something that they're doing.
Well, as my very astute executive producer pointed out in the booth in my ear just now, she's like, California never had slavery. So it's interesting, if we're gonna be doing this states by states, what? It's interesting that California would ever be doing this. They're the state taking that. Now, you want to talk about some of the southern states, we can have some conversations in there, but California taking this. If you don't see this, once again, it's a political move, is my feeling on this. And will it work? Who knows? But you've also got this idea of those that were Native Americans that were, and I think it's somewhat of a different situation because it's more present day. You still have people who are alive, $15,000 for being sterilized. That was government. And I think that is absolutely atrocious. Sterilized Native Americans. Now they're saying, hey, guess what? Lost your chance to have any future generations, but we're going to give you $15,000. This will be provided to 600 people who are still alive today who were sterilized for sterilization. How do you feel about those types of situations?
I think that, so if we're talking about the direct, either the victim, if you will, or the direct descendant, meaning one generation. So the children of someone, absolutely. Because that's not you know, 5, 6, 10 generations. And that's part of the problem with the reparations, because we're talking about generations of people as opposed to those who were directly, for instance, those who were, and I would even go maybe 2 generations. So the grandchild of a slave, well, I don't know, we don't have very many grandchildren of slaves here in the United States. And if they do, they're very, very, very old, but we don't have very many. So that's also what makes it complicated, because the notion is that anybody does it. Anybody gets in, then you have to prove not only that you're a descendant of slave, but that you are an American descendant of slave. So if you are from Haiti and you've been in America all of your life and your parents have been in America, but they were from Haiti or they were from, you know, Jamaica or any place like that, then you wouldn't qualify for the reparations, even if you have spent your entire life here. That's part of the complicated, it's not even nuance, it's just complicated to pull something like this off, which is why ultimately I don't think we'll ever have a reparations as far as a check. I think they will brand things, they will give more money to certain programs, and they will brand that as reparations. But I don't think that a check would be coming from the United States government, at least the federal government.
And then once again, you have to look at their background. I mean, will Vice President Kamala Harris receive a reparation considering her grandfather was one of the largest slave owners in Jamaica?
Neither would Barack Obama.
And those are things that we would have to have, that would have to be fleshed out before a penny was issued, I would hope. Thank you, Malik Abdul. Always great to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
I don't think there is a single person on earth who could not claim some injustice was done to one of their ancestors. And to me, I do not understand how you can justify punishing the present based on the actions of the past. If anything, all this does is build up ill will between the various groups involved. Even more concerning is when only one group is given the ability to ask, while other groups are said their grievances don't count, mainly because they cannot create enough social pressure to justify. Now, refusing to pay damages does not mean you're refusing to acknowledge sins which were committed in the past. No one is denying a person who feels guilty about something from the past taking the initiative with their own money to make that right. But forcing a country's taxpayers to do so is only submitting to a mob, which might never be content. At this point in America, we are a melting pot of many countries, not to mention some very good things came from very bad times in history. Should we also deny those advances and take away the praises meant to the individuals who overcame the toughest of circumstances and still did something for the benefit of all? Of course not. That would be ignorant, which is exactly how I feel about opening up the Pandora's box regarding reparations. I'm Skynell Hughes, and this has been the 360 View. Thank you for watching.